We have been studying the book of Hebrews, and today we are in Hebrews chapter 6. Last week, we went through the six building blocks of our faith, called the foundation of Christ, so foundation of faith. We talked about repentance from dead works and faith in God, teaching about baptism, the laying of hands, or the apostolic successions, the resurrections and eternal judgment. There's a lot, but these are the six building blocks of the Christian faith. And if you don't know them, it is because you are a baby Christian. Today, I want to continue talking about baby Christians, but I want to focus on the joy of what God has given to us once we are born into God's family. There are two messages from the text that we are reading today. One is positive, one is negative. I want to talk about the positive today. And when I come back from vacation on July 16, I'll be talking about the negative, the warning for baby Christians. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to read from verse 4. And we'll stop at verse 8. I'm reading from the NIV. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance, because to their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. Land that drinks the rain often falling on it and that produce a crop useful to those for whom it is farmed, receive the blessing of God. But land that produces thorn and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. Let's pray. Father, here in the text that we just read, there's a blessing and there's also a warning of curse. There are the signs of being born into your household. But at the same time, there's the warning that we as human can lose our salvation if we're not holding tight to faith. Today, we want to look at the positive, the joy of being born again. Be with us and lead us, teach us. Open our hearts to receive your word. Open our minds to remember when we are born and the joy that we have received from you. Hold us tight in your love. Protect us in the name of Jesus. But most importantly this morning, give us the joy that you intended for us today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I want to focus on verse 4 and 5 today to talk about the four things that we have given as baby Christians, or maybe five. I want to talk about what happened when you're born again, and that is you are brought to know Jesus Christ. The second part I want to talk about, once you are born, is there something that you would know? That's the taste of Jesus, the taste of God's word, and the taste of the power, eternal power. Those are the things that God made you know that you are the son and daughter of God. So I want to talk about those two areas. First, let's talk about what happened when you were born in the Spirit. There are two phrases in here that who have lived in the light or who have been enlightened. The second part is that who have share in the Holy Spirit. Those are two things about the birth through the Holy Spirit. First, those have lived in the light. Jesus said he is the light of the world. John, Jesus' beloved apostle, said Jesus is the light of the world. He came into the world. The light of God to the world is God's own Son. So he came in, and he invited us to himself, to the light, and to live in the light. What is the light for? The light, in your experience, in my experience, we set the light when there is darkness so that we can see where we're going. God knows that this whole world is in darkness. It's under the control of Satan. God wants us to be able to see our way back to God, the Father. So God sent his Son. Ironically, though, that the light is given into our hearts, into our mind. It's built within you and within me. In John chapter 8, verse 12 and following, Jesus talked about the light and that he is the light. He's inviting people to come to him. But to demonstrate what it means to receive the light or to have the light, Jesus led the disciple to see a blind man in chapter 9. In John chapter 9, they saw a blind man. The disciple said, what happened? How come this guy was born blind? And Jesus said, so that the glory of God will be revealed in him. Well, then Jesus put mud over his eyes and told him to go and wash. And he washed and he could see. When he had the sight, Jesus come back and met with him. Remarkably, Jesus did not ask him, do you see? Because everyone knows he was able to see. But Jesus asked a very, very interesting question. And Jesus said, do you believe the Son of Man? See, seeing and believing are interchangeable in this process of knowing God and knowing the Son of God. And so the blind man said, who is the Son of Man? And Jesus said, I am. You're talking to him. So the blind man then fall on his knee and worship Jesus. And then Jesus made the comment that he came so that people can see. See what? See the Son of God. See the way to heaven. See the way that back to be with God again. Now let's look at the second part, the second descriptions here that we have share in the Holy Spirit. That word means we are taking a part of the Holy Spirit. But the scriptures speak of the Holy Spirit come and give you the seal of approval, the seal that God have chosen you. When the Holy Spirit come to you, then you have that. Jesus said, no one will see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. So we go back to the conversation that Nicodemus had with Jesus in John chapter 3 to talk about this and to see what that process of birth is about. Nicodemus, that name, means the champion of the people. That means he brings victory to the people. And there's a victory here in his name and in the conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus. The victory is this, that without that conversation, we would never know the experience of being born again. But because of the humbling and pointing questions that Nicodemus asked of Jesus, we now know what the birthing in the Spirit is like. From John chapter 3, verse 1 to 21, after Jesus telling John the Baptist, telling Nicodemus that being born of the flesh is the flesh, being born of the Spirit is the Spirit. If you're born by the Holy Spirit, you are alive in spirit. You are a child of God because God is spirit. Then Jesus go on to tell, these are the things that when you're born again, you would know. Beginning on verse 13, Jesus said, you will know that the Son of God came from heaven. The second thing Jesus said is that, then you would also know that the Son of God died on the cross for your sin. The third thing you would know is that you would know that the Son of God is a gift from God to you, to mankind. The fourth thing you would know is that you will experience light. You will live under the light. You will, that is for a believer. Now, if you don't believe, you remain in the dark and you are condemned. A believer lives in the light and has eternal life. So those are the knowledge that the Holy Spirit gives you. Why do we tie that to the Holy Spirit? Because Jesus said this to Peter when he confessed that Jesus is the Son of God, the Christ. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 17, Jesus responds, Peter, no man can teach you that. Only my Father can open your mind and open your heart for you to know who I am. The Bible said it very clearly that for us to know who Jesus is, it is the work of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 to 11 said, we have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit revealed Jesus to us. And only when the Holy Spirit reveals who Jesus is, that we know that Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. So the first part in this Hebrew chapter 6, verse 4 and 5 tell us that we are born again when we become a baby Christian. These are the things we know about Jesus. It built on the six building blocks that we studied last week. But there's more. There's more. The author of Hebrews talked about tasting the gift from heaven, which is Jesus. Tasting the goodness of the Word of God, and testing the powers of eternity. Those are the experience in God, in the church, in faith, in Jesus, that you should have as a baby Christian. Now let's look at those. The word taste is also point us to what the author have talked about that we went through last week, that the baby Christian drink milk and the mature Christian eat solid food. Tasting, eating, drinking, they're part of the same, part of helping you to grow up, nurture your spiritual. But it's also the experience with the Word of God, experience with Jesus Christ, experience with the power of God. Now let's talk about Jesus. How do you experience Jesus? How do you taste Jesus? That is a very big question. How we do that? We cannot bite into Jesus. Actually, Jesus talked a little bit about eating Jesus' body and drinking his blood. in John chapter 6. And the disciples said, we can't understand this. This is too much. It's wrong. It's just beyond us to understand. What is it? Jesus explained this. The scripture talked about the Son of God. The Son of God is to come and die so that forgiveness of sin will be preached in his name. So we have to focus on to believing Jesus and experiencing forgiveness. That is the important ingredient of tasting Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Have you prayed for forgiveness? If you have prayed for forgiveness, you would experience forgiveness in this way. The burden is lifted from you. The fear of going to hell is lifted up from you. But also, in your heart, you experience tremendous joy that your sins have been forgiven. You also experience peace that you have this relationship with God and there's nothing blocking you and God. You also experience something wonderful, and that is the assurance that you have eternal life with God. If your sins have been forgiven, you experience all those all at once, and it is inside your heart, and no one can take it away. And you just want more. You just want to be there with God and with Jesus all the time. And anything that you have done that is wrong, then you know is wrong, you will go to Jesus and ask Jesus to remove it because you want that joy, you want that assurance, you want that peace inside of you. And you know that so well, it is actually like you tasting Jesus. Now that is part one. Part two, the author here talked about you tasting the goodness of the Word of God. Jesus said the moment you repent, the moment you confess that you're a sinner and you need God, and God then come into you and give you the new birth, that moment, your name is written in the heaven, and God has a celebration out there calling on your name. All the angels in heaven come together and celebrate your name. But not only that, the author of Hebrews chapter 6 here said, the word of God is also made known to you. God actually called your name and you experience it. I don't know if you experience the word of God and God speaking to you, and I have. When God cast out the demons out of my life, I experienced that at the age of 13, and it's like my name has been called. When the Lord called me into the pastorate in September 1995, the Lord called on my name, Christopher, Christopher. It is the joy that you cannot compare anything to. But maybe I would use our relationship here to explain. Most of us had experience with love from your boyfriend, from your girlfriend. You remember those days? You really like someone, and you find out that that's someone like you too. And first you have the smile, and you just said, oh, that smile, just so special. And then he or she will call your name. Oh my goodness, he called my name. Oh my goodness, he called my name. She called my name. I remember that. In our days, when we have a relationship like that, we don't have cell phone, mobile phone like you guys have nowadays. So our conversations although in private, everyone in the house know about, because we take the telephone with the wire and they take into the room and lock the room, but the wire go into the room and they can hear the conversation, hear all the talking in there, and the talking is going through the day and going into the night, and my mom and dad wake up in the middle of the night, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and he's still on the phone. Remember those days? Okay. You remember how exciting that was? Now, to hear the word of God, to hear God calling on your name, that you are his son, you are his daughter, you are at home, and he wants to embrace you, and he has made heaven just for you. Now, that is the greatest joy that a man and a woman can have. And the author of Hebrews said, you have it when you are born again in the Spirit. And think about, have you experienced that? If you haven't experienced the voice of God, I want you to go and pray. Father, did you call my name? Because the moment you know that God called your name, you'll be like a girlfriend that I saw in my class in college. There was a girl. She fell in love with a boy. I know what her name was, but she started signing her name with her husband's last name. And I look at her and I said, what are you doing? And she said, oh, I'm expecting to get married to this handsome man, and I'd be his wife forever. And so I start signing my name, my first name with his last name. This is the most beautiful part of that relationship. And so you will begin to see yourself in the identity of your heavenly Father. Amen. That joy will be in you and will be in there forever. Okay. Now the last part. You will taste the miracles. You will taste the power of God. God is invisible. God told Moses that no one can see him and live. So he will come to you in power. He comes to you and reveals his power to you and show you that you are his. And the way he does that is to come into your life and show a sign, a miraculous sign. You should experience once in your life as you are a Christian. Maybe you expect a lot, but God's going to give you one sign. For me, it was the demon at a prayer, and the demon was cast out immediately. I experienced the power of God, and that remained with me forever. Maybe you have a sickness, and you pray, and the sickness disappears. It is called miracle because science cannot explain. We just know it has just happened. The power of God just come and take away the fear and give you the joy, and that's how you know that you experience the power of God. And the power of God is actually God's hand and say, honey, I'm here. I'm here. I will be here forever. That's the first sign. And the sign that you must keep in your heart forever and ever and never let go. And think about that power of God. That is God's embrace, you holding you in his arm and saying, you belong to me, honey. You are my son. You are my daughter. Oh, my goodness, these are the joy of being born again. Let me conclude by reading 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 9. Take your Bible, read this with me. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrections of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perish even through refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the gold of your faith, the salvations of your soul. There is no greater joy to know that God has hugged you, God has called your name, all the angels in heaven celebrate your birth, then the Holy Spirit has revealed Jesus to you. There's no greater joy than that. But that joy that God is giving to you, it's not cheap. It's very expensive because it costs God's own son. There is no salvation if there is no shedding of blood. God initially taught the Jew that they learn of the shedding of the blood of a calf, of a goat, or a sheep. But God said, I'm not satisfying with sheep and goat and cow. No. Those are just information for you to know that there must be a shedding of blood in order for salvation to be given. What satisfied God is God's own son, so that salvation will be given and preached for all generations. So on the day that Jesus was betrayed, Jesus said, take the bread and give to the disciple. And he said, this is my body that has been broken for you. And they take the cup and give to them. And he said, take it, each and every one of you, because this is my blood in the new covenant. You're born again, not because of your merit. You're born again because Jesus has died to redeem you, to give you this chance. And so rejoice in this free gift that God has given to us. Let me pray. Father, as we come together to the table to receive the gift of eternal life, the gift of salvation, the gift of sonship, the gift of inheritance in heaven, all because Jesus has died for us. Thank you. As we come to the table, be with us, guide us. If we have sins in our life, forgive us, wash away our sins. Make us holy to be in your presence and to partake Jesus now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So come.